Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're continuing in our series in God's Church Manual. We're looking in 1st, 2nd Timothy, and perhaps Titus. We'll see how it goes. Our key verse is that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The dictionary says the word how is the manner or way in which something is to be done. God has not left us without instructions on how things ought to be done in the local church. Today we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, but before we do, here's my granddaughter, Rachel. She's playing the keyboard and singing along all the way. My Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Stop what you're doing, sit down, listen carefully, follow along with the words as Rachel sings this beautiful hymn. Well, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 today. He starts out saying, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. I was looking at that and wondering, why did he say this is a true saying? He could have started this verse, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. But he didn't. He said, this is a true saying. Now, 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying. In 1 Timothy 3:1 here, he said, this is a true saying. In 1 Timothy 4:9, this is a faithful saying. 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying. And then in Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying. It is only in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus that we find this particular phrase. And of course, it was written to the pastor in how things ought to be done in the local church. Now, all through 1, 2 Timothy and Titus, the major theme is doctrine. In contrast with the false doctrine that was being taught there, it's probably that he said, this is not a false doctrine. This is a true saying. This is a faithful saying. Now, he went on to say, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Desire. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. We see Saul, who was later, his name was changed to Paul, who was actually writing 1 Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And concerning him, when he was called Saul, in Acts 9:2, he desired letters to Damascus. Why? He wanted to put Christians to death. But in Romans 10:1, after he was saved, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so what a tremendous contrast we see here from when he desired letters to go to Damascus to put Christians in prison, even put them to death if he could. What a tremendous change. When you get saved, old things pass away and all things become new. None of God's appointed pastors, and I want to emphasize the word appointed or called of God, they don't just decide to go into the ministry. The desire comes from God. Amos, in chapter 7, he said, I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. And then Jeremiah 1:5, God said to Jeremiah, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, we have here the bishop. Why the different terms? I think it's very important to understand this, and we're going to spend this program just on this one verse here about bishops. In the New Testament and in the Old, we have the different terms. Elders, bishops, and pastors. Now, the Bible has different terms for local church leadership. One is elder or elders, and these terms appear 64 times in the New Testament. Another term is bishop and bishops, which appear 7 times. The third term is pastors, which appears only 1 time in the New Testament. Since the term pastor is only used once concerning local church age, why do we use the term pastor today? And it's correct. It's what we should use, not wrong. But why do we use it? It's only there once. Now, concerning the elder, the word elders first appears in Genesis 50, verse 7, where we read about Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. The Bible speaks about the elders of Israel in 34 verses. The term elders occurs in connection with countries such as Midian, Moab, Gilead, Jabesh, as well as towns, cities, and other places. Now, when we look at elders in the New Testament, Matthew 16:21, Jesus suffered many things at the hands of the elders. They challenged his authority. They planned his crucifixion. They sought false witnesses against him. They gave 30 pieces of silver to Judas. They persuaded the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus. They mocked the Lord when he was on the cross. They paid money to the soldiers to lie about his resurrection. They persecuted the early Christians. They were involved in the stoning of Stephen. They sent Paul to Damascus to bring Christians back to Jerusalem to be persecuted. They put themselves under a curse to kill Paul. And Peter said in 1 Peter, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Well, seeing the elders did all these bad things, why do they call them elders here? Now, they ordained, it says in Acts 14:23, elders in every church. Let's examine the term elder. In the book of Acts, many Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem were trusting Christ as their Savior. Local churches were being organized. These churches were to be structured decently and in order. The Bible says elders were being ordained in every church, and the residents of Jerusalem were mainly Jewish and were very familiar with the term elder. As seen in the Old Testament scriptures, the elders were leaders of cities, household, countries, and the Jewish synagogue. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to use the term elder in this situation because the Jewish population would understand the leadership responsibilities the elders had in their local churches. The term elder is synonymous with pastor, and that's the word we use today. Now, the term bishop. In the book of Philippians, the word bishop is in the New Testament one time, and plural, the term bishops is found six times. We read of bishops and deacons together in Philippians 1:1. We read of the office of a bishop in 1 Timothy 3:1, as well as the qualification of a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Who are these bishops? Philippians 1, verse 1, says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, bishop was a Greek term. The recipient of this letter, they were mainly Greeks. The word bishop was used by them long before the New Testament was written. When the Greeks or Romans conquered a city or a state, the emperor would appoint a bishop to take charge of the area. The bishop was a leader with authority, but he was also responsible to a superior power. He was a leader who introduced new things. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Philippians to use the word bishop because the people in this environment would know immediately what his responsibilities were in the local church. Let me give you an example. On two different occasions, I had the privilege to minister to the Yanomami Indians in the jungles of Venezuela with our missionaries in the village of Cua. I took that picture of that hut that I stayed in. The village leader was referred to as a chief. On the other hand, the leader of a football team is referred to as a captain. He's not a chief. And so if I'd talked to the people in Cua and said, I want to talk to your captain, they wouldn't know what I was talking about. They used the term chief. Paul simply used terms for the leaders of the local churches that were in the area where people would understand what he was talking about. We have the elder and the bishop in the same place in the book of Titus. We have the use of both words in the same paragraph. In Titus 1 and 5, we read about elders and being ordained in every city. And two verses later, he said a bishop must be blameless. Obviously, the terms are interchangeable and are referring to the same local church office. At Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 17, we read Paul called the elders of the church. In verse 28, he referred to them as tending a flock. He also referred to the elders as overseers. Now, we need to keep this in mind as we look at the term pastors. He gave some pastors. In Ephesians 4:11, we have the term, and it's plural. Verse 12 says, pastors were given for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. The place God assigned for perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry is the local church, as it is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we have Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Teaching, very important. Preaching, also very important. Now we have the shepherd. Although the term pastors is seen only one time in the King James Version of the New Testament, the Greek word is there 18 times. The Hebrew word pastors occurs in the Old Testament another 8 times. The Old Testament, the word is ra. The word means to shepherd. The New Testament word means to shepherd. Everyone understood the shepherd's responsibility. In the New Testament, the word for shepherd refers to Jesus 9 times. It refers to a literal shepherd 8 times, and once it refers to the leaders of God, the leaders God gave as a gift to the local churches. People in Israel knew immediately what the local church leaders' responsibilities were when they heard the word shepherd. The term pastor in Ephesians 4:11 is obviously used as a type of someone God has chosen to shepherd the sheep. And so in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, we read, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." The good shepherd, it's all about the sheep. Feeding the sheep, the Lord, feeding the Lord's lambs, it's called in John 21, feeding the Lord's sheep, watering the Lord's sheep, leading the Lord's sheep, protecting the Lord's sheep, comforting the Lord's sheep, and disciplining the Lord's sheep. All here, the scriptures are there for you. You can check those out. And so, coming to terms with the terms, let's have some conclusions here. The term elder, bishop, and pastor are used of the same local New Testament office. Different terms were used that would be understood by people in different areas. Pastors are referred to as ruling and teaching. The Greek term bishop indicates the pastor is a man of authority who is responsible to a higher power. Bishops are referred to as caring for the church, teaching the scriptures, and protecting the flock in a local church. The qualifications for bishop stresses a strong leadership. The term bishop and elder are used of the same men in 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2 and 2 Timothy 5:17 and 19. The fact that Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd indicates the pastor is the under-shepherd in the local church when taken in the context of 1 Peter chapter 5. The pastor's ministry involves teaching believers, Ephesians 4:11 to 16, preaching the word, 2 Timothy 4:2 to 4, taking the oversight, 1 Peter 5 and 2, shepherding the flock, Acts 20 and 28, ruling and leading well, 1 Timothy 5:17, and being an example, 1 Peter 5, verse number 3. Well, there you have it, verse number 1. All the way my Savior leads me, once again, Rachel singing for you. Follow along with the words. Again, I said this as she sang at the beginning. Just sit down, stop what you're doing. Listen very carefully as she sings. Follow the words and think about it. What a tremendous message and song this really is.